Matthew 23. We'll talk a little bit about the Bible today. And talk about the canon of Scripture. Now, the canon of Scripture is what they decided to put in, what they decided was inspired to be in God's complete book. And I like the way they call it a canon, because we got a 66 caliber Bible, amen. But the one thing I want to talk about today to kind of hone down on is the Apocrypha. If I don't spell this right, that's okay. Now, why do we not accept the Apocrypha as inspired books for the Bible? That's a big topic, and a lot of people bring that up. You know what? And the AV 1611, when it was first translated, they accepted the Apocrypha as potential history books, but they didn't accept them as Scripture, and they put them between the Old and New Testament. The Roman Catholic Church puts them in the Old Testament. And you'll find that the perverted Bible versions come from a line of texts that have them in the Old Testament. And they weren't originally in the Old Testament. They were jammed in the Old Testament. But I'm going to show you from the Bible why we don't accept the Apocrypha as inspired canonical books. There is some history in there. I mean, that's like saying, well, Guyton's physiology, there's truth in there, so it must be part of the Bible. No. We don't put it in the Bible, even though there's some true things in there, because there's some also some things in there that aren't true. But talking about Tobit, Bell and the Dragon, Maccabees, I think there's seven. I think there might be nine, and there's seven that are included. There might be a couple extra floating around. And then y'all hear about other books on the in the Bible on the internet, probably. Well, what about the Book of Enoch or the Book of? Oh, who knows what they're coming up with now. They probably got the book of who knows. They just pull stuff out of the air. Well, that's supposed to be in the Bible. Well, I believe we've got what's supposed to be in the Bible right there, 66 books of it. And we've talked a little bit about why I believe that. And it's just a Bible numeric shows that that's a complete book. I mean, the oracles of God were given to the Jews, and the number of the Jews, 12. And 6 plus 6 is 12, or 66 books in the Bible. There's just all kinds of things that you can look at and say, isn't that something? That couldn't have been an accident. And the whole deal about the apocryphal books, whether they should be in there or not, I'm going to show you why I believe they should not. I think that the translators got it right by putting them between there. Probably should have just left them out of the whole mess, but the whole thing, and not created the mess and confusion about it. But they didn't put it in the Old Testament or New Testament. They put it in between as historical books with potential historical value. And I believe that's probably true. So Matthew chapter 23, we'll begin reading in verse 33. It's Jesus Christ talking to the religious crowd. He said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you the prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." Now this is interesting because it talks about the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias. And where does that go? Genesis to 2 Chronicles. You want to know where the Jews' Old Testament ends? 2 Chronicles. They don't have they have the same information we have, but they're set up different. And they don't have a First and Second Chronicles. They have a Book of Chronicles. We have it split up. They don't have First and Second Kings. They have Kings. But the reason we don't accept the apocryphal books as inspired is because of this and some other verses. But this is where we start. And when Jesus Christ himself mentions about the Old Testament, he talks about the blood of Abel, the blood of Zacharias, which is the beginning and the end of the Old Testament for the Jews. That's what they would have had when he was saying this. They would have had Genesis to Chronicles. And that's where 2 Chronicles is where Zacharias' blood is shed, and Genesis is where Abel's blood is shed. So there he's putting boundaries on the word in the Old Testament. He's telling the Jews, from Genesis to the end of your Old Testament, you've killed the prophets. You've killed the people that were trying to give you the truth. Okay? That's one reason. Now, the Catholic Bible doesn't have 2 Chronicles in it. It's replaced with Maccabees. Yeah. So, I don't even believe they have the complete, like the Jews in their Old Testament with Chronicles, but it's 1st and 2nd combined. I don't think there's 2nd's even in the Catholic Bible at all. It's not a combination. It's replaced with Maccabees. But they say, well, the church decides what goes in the Bible. Well, no, Jesus Christ decided. And he gave men clarity on it, and I'll show you again how we know. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I will put Matthew 23 here. Luke 24, we'll begin. Well, we'll just read one verse. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let me get over to Luke real quick. Y'all beat me over there. Luke 24, verse 44. And these are the words. And he said unto them, these are the words of Jesus Christ here. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So here Jesus Christ mentions the law, and you know we've got five books of the law, the five books of Moses, what they call it. So he mentioned the law, mentioned the books of Moses. He mentions the prophets, and he mentions the Psalms. He doesn't mention the Apocrypha. Okay, so we know that some of these should be canonized because Jesus Christ mentions them. He mentions the law. He mentions the prophets. He mentions the Psalms. And let's jump over to Romans chapter number 3. Now, this is a big one. Romans chapter number 3. Verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Okay, so the oracles of God were given to the Jews. This entire Bible was written by Jews. Every book in it was written by a Jew. And even if you talk about whether or not Luke was a full Jew or whatever, I mean, they were all written by Jews. They were all Jewish people that wrote it. They were given to the Jews. Okay? The Jews don't accept the Apocrypha. The ones that diligently searched the Scripture, diligently kept the Scripture, the Old Testament writings, they didn't accept the Apocrypha. So why would you take the Catholic Church's position over the Jews when the Old Testament was given to the Jews? And they obviously kept it from the time it was given up until now. So they don't accept the Apocrypha as part of the canon. They don't accept it as part of the Old Testament. Now you can say, well, you know, well, they don't accept the New Testament. I understand that. But they have a complete Old Testament. They believe it. It was all given to them. And there's no Maccabees or any of that stuff in the Jewish Old Testament. So, well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Well, it does, because the entire Old Testament was written before the Catholic Church was in existence. And it was given to the Jews. The Catholic Church didn't come into existence in the 300s A.D. the system of religious belief did not consolidate until that time. So to say that they give it to the church and the church makes the decision what goes in there and what goes out of there, what stays out, the reason they say that is they think they replace Israel. The only way you can get around saying, well, the Jews have the Old Testament and they don't accept the Apocrypha, so it shouldn't be in there. The only way you can get around this is by saying we replaced the Jews and God's given us something he didn't give anybody else. Well, that's hogwash. Jesus Christ never mentions one time. And all the times he goes back and refers to Scripture, he never refers to anything out of the Apocrypha. Everything Jesus Christ refers to in here is part of the books of Moses, the part of the Psalms, part of the prophets. So that's why we do not believe that the Apocrypha belongs in as inspired Scripture. And again, like I say, the Old Testament and New Testament sandwiched the Apocrypha when the Bible translators, King James Bible translators, translated. They translated an inspired Old Testament, inspired New Testament, and put it in there as potential history books between the books, the Apocrypha. And later, printings, they went ahead and took it out because it wasn't part of the Bible anyway. It was just put in there for history. It wasn't put in there to be studied as Scripture. It never was. I have a facsimile of the original 1611 Bible, and I showed it to a guy once, and he said, oh, you got your Catholic Bible. I said, yeah, Catholic Bible. He goes, well, look right there. It's got the Apocrypha in it. Well, I mean, I agree. They probably should have left it out altogether. But it's not in the Old Testament or the New Testament. The Catholic Church puts it in the Old Testament. It doesn't belong there. A lot of the, most of the perverted texts that you'll find they come up with these new quote-unquote perverted Bible or Bibles with, it's found in the text of the Old Testament because that stuff come down through the Catholic Church. And it was changed. You got Jerome's Latin Vulgate. You got a bunch of different things that were changed. You got the Vaticanus and the Atticus. You got those things that were changed by that church to get you to believe that that's supposed to be part of that. So we don't accept that. We don't just accept that because, oh, we're Protestants. I'm not a Protestant. I don't believe what the Methodists believe or the Presbyterians believe or the Lutherans believe when they come out of the Catholic Church. I believe what Paul believed before the Catholic Church ever existed. I believe the Old Testament that existed before the Catholic Church ever existed. And really, if you get into the New Testament, a great deal of it was written before, you know, it was all written. There was no Catholic Church around. Look at Revelation, 90 A.D. What are you going to do with that? So you got a Bible that was written before the church that it was given to was around. I don't believe that. I believe the oracles were given to the Jews, and the Jews kept them diligently. And think about this, when the Jews kept the Old Testament scripture, their entire existence was hinging on perfect preservation of God's word. Now, if there was something in one of those apocryphal books that was going to help them try to be in God's favor, they'd put it in there, right? Because their whole existence hinges on the Old Testament right, and that's what they believe. Really, it hinges on New Testament, too, because we know what's going on. But that's why we don't accept the Apocrypha as part of inspired Scripture. And there's some really crazy stuff in that. If you read it, like Bell and the Dragon and stuff like that, there's some really wild stuff in it. I mean, there's some wild stuff in the Bible, but I mean, there's some really bizarre stuff that don't match up with the Bible in those writings. Because I do believe there are some historical content there that can be gleaned, but that's why we don't put them in there. I just don't want you to think, well, he just hates the Catholic Church, and that's what, I hate the system. I love Catholics. I think I hope they all get saved. But I'm not, I just don't believe it because I'm a Baptist. I believe it because the Bible shows what should be in the Bible and what shouldn't. The Bible testifies of itself. Jesus Christ, we're not arguing about the Catholic versus the Baptist. We're arguing about Christ versus the Antichrist. Right? I mean, there are Baptists who are running around and probably tell you, oh, yeah, we believe the Apocrypha. So what? So what? I mean, what you believe or don't believe doesn't make it right or wrong. You ever believed anything that was wrong? Probably still believe in some wrong stuff. Hopefully not in here. We try to do the best we can to believe the truth and get the truth. You ever hear something and think, good night, that sounds like that's got to be true. And then find out that was the farthest thing from the truth. You know? And that's the way religion is. people will believe what religion tells them because that's their religion. That's their tradition. That's what their mama believed. That's what their grandma believed. That's what their great-grandma believed. Maybe their great-great-grandma believed. Maybe their great-great-great-grandma preached it from the pulpit. I don't know. But they believe this because that's what they've always believed. And if you go down south, that's the way it is. That's the way it is everywhere. People just believe what they've been told. And they'll just shovel it in and believe it. But if you got a Bible, just look at it. See what you think. Does this match up with that? Isaiah chapter 9, does that match up with what happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. I don't want you to think I'm just pulling this stuff out of the air. We have a reason why we believe this or don't believe that. And we're going to be wrong on some stuff once in a while, but we're not wrong on this. I mean, there have been a lot of people that prayed and diligently sought truth, and God allowed to compile the canon of the Scripture here, and they had a reason for not putting some things in there. Sister Gifford. Yeah, there were Jewish scribes keeping it the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, and see, there's also different opinions on what they're referring to when they refer to those books. So some of them might be books that are in the canon, they're calling them a different name, like Jasher. And there might be different writings under that. Yeah, so, but obviously, like you said, the Jews always kept the Scripture. They didn't, like, forget it for 400 years and say, put what you want in it. They actually diligently kept it, and they kept it to an extent that if they made a misprint, they'd throw the whole thing over and start over again. They thought the Word of God was important. Amen? They were Baptists, for Baptists, were cool. Amen? Most Baptists used to think the Word of God was important. But that's the deal. They thought it was not only important, but it was imperative they kept it without error. And they would do everything they could in man's ability to keep that without error. And like Sister said, just because, I mean, okay, we'll look at this argument and say, okay, so something was quoted that we don't know where it is or whatever. That doesn't mean it's wrong. But when they don't quote something and they try to put it in there, and look what Jesus did quote. He gave parameters. He gave parameters in the Old Testament, Jewish Old Testament, from which starts in Genesis and ends in 2 Chronicles under the Jewish Old Testament. And I'm not saying they have different books. I'm saying they have different orders and a different ending. But he gave those parameters, and he also mentioned the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he doesn't one time mention any of the apocrypha. He just doesn't do it. So, and it's nothing, you know, if you can glean something out of there historically, go ahead. But don't believe it's part of the Bible. You know, don't go, well, this is, I'm going to pray over this and read Bell and the Dragon. It's not part of the Bible. It shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be. It never was intended to be. And you got the Jews preserving it, and for the longest time, until very recently, the Roman Catholic Church was dead set against anybody reading it. They didn't want anybody to read the Bible. They would tell you what it said. And I think that's why they had their kept their mass in Latin for so long. We'll just tell you what it says, and then we'll just gibber. They're speaking in tongues, but that was popular. Nobody go to them services and knew what they were talking about. I mean, the guy saying it didn't even know what he's talking about. Amen. He might know the words, but he don't know what he's talking about. But the importance of the Scripture, I mean, you can't overstate it. We've got parameters set by Jesus Christ. We've got parameters set by holy men of old, if you would, that were moved by the Holy Spirit to give the originals and to, I believe, inspire the translation of this book that I have right here. And the Apocrypha is not supposed to be in there. Now, I have nothing bad to say about people that were raised believing it was part of it. I didn't know one way or the other when I was a kid. I had no idea. And if my Baptist preacher would have told me it was part of it, I'd believe it. But I didn't have to get over that hurdle because I wasn't told that. But I just wanted you to understand why we do not believe they're part of the canon and why we do believe that the 66 books are the books that are supposed to be there. They're referred to by Jesus Christ. Not necessarily every single one, but when he lumps it up into the law, the books of Moses, the prophets, which a ton of prophets, major and minor, they call them, they're all prophets, and the Psalm. That's basically why we believe the canon is a 66-book canon from Genesis to Revelation. I believe that's a complete revelation. Isn't that something? Complete revelation ends with Revelation. And that's another reason we believe it's complete revelation, because the book of Revelation, which is the end of the completed revelation, shows you the end, on into eternity. So anyway, not to beat up on anybody that believes something that they maybe don't believe now or whatever, I'm just telling you why we got a reason for what we believe. We don't just pull stuff out of the air and go, well, I just don't want to believe that because I don't like my neighbor and he believes it. We actually have some factual reasons.